But you know, Easter is one of the toughest sermons for pastors to preach. And you probably go, well, why? It should be one of the best sermons. But the problem is that we're talking to an audience that probably has heard the story maybe 20, 30, 40 times. And you know the outcome. It's the same every single year. It doesn't change that Jesus is resurrected from the tomb. But the question is Easter still relevant today? And is it relevant in a time when we're asking ourselves these questions? With all the uncertainty in our nation right now, in our community, will my family, will I be okay? Will I experience hate that people of color are facing in this nation today? You know, now that we are slowly reopening, can my company hang on just a little bit longer to make sure that I have a job? And the list goes on. But the resurrection is relevant because the same fears that the followers of Jesus had are the same ones that we have today. And it was the resurrection that gave them hope and when they thought there was none. You know, it's interesting because when we as believers, you know, hear the story, we read it from a certain standpoint where we read about the crucifixion. And we say, oh, you know, this is sad, it's a bummer that Jesus was crucified and that Jesus died on the cross. And then 2 minutes later, we read the crucifixion and we say, hey, this is great, Jesus is risen, right? And we see it within a really short time frame. But what we do is we miss out what it was like when the first followers of Jesus experienced that. It wasn't a 2 minute, oh, Jesus died, and oh, he's risen, yay, this is great. No, it was much different. Because from the perspective of Jesus' disciples, followers, and family, nobody expected an empty tomb. Once again, nobody expected an empty tomb. And if you have your Bibles, can you turn with me to Mark 16, verse 1. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. And I'll be reading out of the NIV. And the author writes, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they may go to anoint Jesus' body. And so we see these women going to the tomb with spices to anoint the body, because that's what you did for a person who's died, right? They didn't expect an empty tomb. They were going there because they expected a body. They expected Jesus' body to be there. Why? Well, because Jesus has died and they expected him to be there. They did not expect him to be resurrected. So we see this example in the women, that even though Jesus taught about the resurrection, that they didn't believe it. And why don't we continue on to John 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the tomb stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put them. Notice, Mary goes and she sees an empty tomb. And she's so startled, she's so surprised that she goes running and she tells Peter that somebody has stolen and taken the body of Jesus Christ. Did you notice that then she say, Jesus is risen like he told us he would? Why? Because she didn't believe that Jesus would be resurrected. She expected to find Jesus' body there and was surprised when it wasn't. Let's continue on in verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, and both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. This is kind of like John's competitive nature here. He's writing this, and he's the other disciple, so he had to make it noted for all time that he beat Peter to the grave, right? But then he bent over and looked in the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb, and he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. And the cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Now, it's interesting that John describes this part, that he said the linen was still there wrapped, as if, you know, it was just, it was laying there in the same position that Jesus was laid there, right? And it was kind of like Star Wars when we saw like Ben Kenobi and Luke. When they died, what happened? They just disappeared and their robes just, you know, fell, right? And this is what it's and this is what happened. But it's interesting that John writes that because in that in those days, and even maybe in today, that they thought that Jesus' body was stolen. That in order to disprove the resurrection, and even the religious leaders told, you know, Pilate, this is why you got to steal this tomb, because the disciples are going to come and they're going to steal the body. But who would steal a body, unwrap it, and put it exactly the way it was and just lay it there? No. If you were going to rob the tomb, especially with Roman guards there, you would just take the body and run, right? But the way he describes it shows that Jesus' body was not stolen like rumors were going around that time. And it says in verse 8, finally the other disciple, which is John, the one who wrote this gospel, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. So you say, oh, John saw this, and he was the disciple that Jesus loved, so he went in there, and he saw an empty tomb, and he believed. He didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. What he believed was he believed Mary's story, that the tomb was empty and somebody must have stolen the body. Because there was, you know, in Luke it talks about even Peter was perplexed at what he saw. So when they went in there, the Bible says that John believed, but he didn't believe that Jesus was resurrected. He believed that Mary's story was true, that somebody had taken the body of Jesus. And how do we know that? Well, in the next verse, it says, they still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Now, you have to realize that when John was writing this book, this gospel, it was, you know, minimally 50 years after this event. So he's looking back on it. At that time, he didn't believe that Jesus was risen. But at the time he was writing the gospel, it already happened. And this is why he put this in here, right? This is why he put this in there, to remind us that even his disciples who were with Jesus for 3 years did not believe that he was going to be resurrected. Because nobody, not even his closest followers, expected to find an empty tomb. Which leads us to my next point. When Jesus died on the cross, all hope was lost. When Jesus died on the cross, all hope was lost. John 20, verse 19 says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Now, not much is written about Saturday. We know what happened on Good Friday. We know what happened on, you know, when Jesus was resurrected. But not much was written about what was happening on Saturday, right? But we do know that that they were afraid. Because if Jesus, who was the Messiah, if Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God, could not even save himself, how is he going to save us? How is he going to protect us from the religious leaders? And that's what they were afraid of, that they felt that the religious leaders were able to crucify Jesus and that they were next, right? They felt that they were misled and that they lied to, and that Jesus was indeed not the Messiah and Jesus was indeed not the Son of God. They believed his teachings and his miracles because they read the Old Testament prophets, and they knew about the miracles that prophets could perform. And even in the account of Luke, some of the men, when they were talking to Jesus, when Jesus was disguised, they said, they referred to Jesus as what? A powerful prophet. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. They did not believe that he was the Son of God. Why? Because there was no way that the Messiah could be killed. There was no way the Son of God could be killed, especially at the hands of mortal men, right? And so once they saw Jesus die, who claimed to be God, who claimed to be the Son of God, they were in disbelief, right? Because they said, surely, maybe he was a prophet, but we've been duped. We've been misled because God cannot be killed. They probably also thought that 3 years of their lives were just wasted. Just think that they left their careers in order to follow Jesus. And so for 3 years, they said, we followed him when we could be out fishing, right? And we followed a man who misled us. You know, and some of you might feel that way now, right? You might feel disillusioned with life, that your life really isn't turning out the way you want to, that you had certain plans for yourself, you had certain plans for your children, and they're just not working out. In fact, they might be going the opposite direction. The plans you had for your career, maybe relationships or your family, they just never materialized. And you've grown up thinking that, hey, God, where are you? You're supposed to be the one that helps me accomplish these plans, right? Where are you? Where are you? And you might feel disillusioned today. But, you know, the disciples were all disillusioned. However, things were going to change. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, all hope was lost. However, after the resurrection, all hope was restored. Now, this is the exciting part because we have to understand that the disciples lost hope, right? This was the darkest moment in their lives. However, the resurrection restored their hope. And it could do the same for you today. You know, in Luke 24:36, while they were still talking about this, they meaning the disciples, Jesus himself stood among them and said, peace be with you. And they were startled and they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And here we see the disciples talking with one another. They were afraid. Then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus pops up and he says, peace be with you. And they were afraid. Why? Because they thought they saw a ghost. They thought that Jesus had died. They didn't believe in the resurrection because it wasn't like they were all there at the tomb waiting. Remember, Jesus said he was going to rise on the third day. Let's all go and watch it. None of them were there because they didn't believe that he was going to be resurrected, right? And then he said in verse 38, he says, and he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your mind? Once again, they were afraid. And Jesus looked at them and said, why are you troubled? Why are you doubting? You know, and it's kind of like, remember the story when the disciples and Jesus were on a boat and this storm, this raging storm just came out of nowhere. And the disciples who were professional fishermen were afraid that they were going to drown. And what was Jesus doing? He was praying, right? No, he was sleeping. I mean, here the disciples were thinking that they're going to drown. And what's Jesus doing? He's in the boat napping. And so they wake Jesus up. Right, go, Jesus, do something. We're gonna get ready to drown. And what does he say to him? Why, you of little faith? Why are you so afraid? And they're like, well, duh, Jesus, because we're gonna drown, right? And basically, what Jesus is saying, why are you afraid? It's me. I'm here. Trust me. Trust me. I've got all of this under control. And of course, we know at the end of the story, Jesus calms the storm. And they were fine. But it would have been the same thing for you today. If we're standing here today talking in fellowship, and some of you are going through a difficult time right now, all of your hope, all of your dreams, all of the things that you thought would happen in life is not going your way. And actually, maybe you're going through some crisis right now, and you're afraid, and you're doubting whether or not, you know, God could do something or make something good come out of your life. You know what Jesus would do? He would say the same thing that he told the disciples. You know, why are you so afraid? Don't worry. You know, I'm here. Trust me. Experience my peace. Chapter 40, he says, and when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? I love that. This is Jesus' resurrected body. This is a body I think we're going to have. And Jesus said, you know, here they are, freaked out. And Jesus said, hey, by the way, do you got something to eat? Which tells me that in heaven, we're going to be eating. Because I'm going to have my resurrected body, just like Jesus did. And the first thing I'm going to say, Jesus, do you have anything for me to eat? You know, I'm hungry. And it says, and he took it, and he ate it in the presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you, that everything must be fulfilled that is about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them that this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. And repentance and forgiveness, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. It says, you are the witness of these things. And so the resurrection of Jesus proved to all of the disciples that everything he said about himself was true. That indeed that he was the Son of God, that he had the power to forgive sins, and their sins would be forgiven if they believed in him, and they would be saved through him. So everything that Jesus said about himself was validated because the resurrection. And this radically changed them. It radically changed their lives. Cowardly men who didn't even want to be associated with Jesus after his arrest and crucifixion turned into bold messengers and preachers of the gospel. You know, they thought they were misled and they were fearful that they were going to be killed just as Jesus was killed before the resurrection. But after the resurrection, they thought it was an honor to give their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Before they were in that room, they were afraid, and they were afraid that they would be killed by the religious leaders. But after the resurrection, they were no longer afraid to die. They considered it an honor, and they wanted to give their lives to preach the gospel. You know, our superintendent, a Free Methodist superintendent in Myanmar, is pastoring a people who are suffering right now because of the military coup. They're having problems accessing food and medical care for themselves and their community. You know, they're having problems. And, you know, here we are, you know, hopefully in mid-April, at least in California, everyone over the age of 16 should be qualified to get the COVID-19 shot. In Myanmar, they have no idea when they're going to get the shot. And it may be never. Because why? Of the chaos that's going there. And it's just a very poor country, right? And through all of this, through people going and stealing other people's food because they don't have, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I received this email from him yesterday, and he said, dear prayer friend, I do wish you many blessings for Easter. Praise the Lord. He is risen. May the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead continue to live with his power in you. Thank you for your love and prayers. And this is from a man whose country, his church, and the churches that he's overseeing are suffering greatly right now in ways that we probably can't even imagine. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, he could send me that email and praise God and worship God and pray for us and celebrate together as one family. Why? Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this is my last point, is how will you respond to the resurrection? How will you respond to the resurrection? In John chapter 20, verse 29, then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed. I love this. Because who are those who are blessed who believed yet did not see? It's us, right? And Jesus said, you know, you believed because you saw me. I'm here talking with you. But he said, blessed are those who believe and who do not see. And that's you and me. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But I want you to really concentrate on this verse. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You have to remember that when John first encountered the resurrection, he didn't believe. But over 50 years later, when he's writing this gospel, why did he write this? He's writing this gospel to let you know that this was not just a story that was made up, that this was an actual event, that Jesus did indeed died on the cross for our sins, and he was risen on the third day. He appeared to Peter and then the 12. Then after that, he appeared to 500 brothers and sisters, right? Who Paul was saying are still living today. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says, over 500 people have seen Jesus walk around and alive. If you don't believe me, ask them, right? And he appeared to James, who was Jesus' brother. And we know that Jesus' stepbrothers didn't believe that he was the Son of God. They actually ridiculed him. You know, but they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And yet, after the resurrection, we see James is now the leader of the church. And his other brother wrote Jude, which is the book that precedes Revelation. And so this is a real event that demands a response because it answers the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus was just a good man and a good teacher? You know, somebody had good words to live by? Do you believe that maybe he was a powerful prophet like some of them did? Or do you believe that indeed he was the Son of God and that salvation comes through him and him alone when he is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus offers a way of salvation. Jesus offers eternal life, but it's only through him. And it's because of the resurrection that it proves that he indeed is the Son of God, that he is God, and that he has the power to forgive sins, the power to save you, right? And so what is your response to that? Do you accept that message or do you just disregard it and continue to go on with your life? Because Jesus was resurrected, you have to respond to that. You have to respond to his teaching. Either you agree with it or you don't agree with it. But you can't be neutral. The resurrection demands a response. In John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And this is the question or the invitation that Jesus poses to all of us today. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, capable of forgiving your sins? That Jesus loves you? That Jesus is a God of mercy? And that he gave his life for you so that you could have eternal life? All you need to do is take him as his word and believe, right? Because Jesus said that no amount of works can gain you entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That only faith, and faith alone, in Jesus Christ, can gain you entrance to eternal life. And this is what Easter's all about. is that Jesus proved that indeed he is the Messiah capable of granting eternal life. And for those of you who are watching who have not made that decision yet, now you have a choice. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond with belief? Or are you going to respond with disbelief and move on to your life? It is my hope that you respond with belief. Please join me in prayer. Worship team, please come forward. There might be some of you watching this Easter morning who have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ. You may not know a whole lot about the Bible. You may not have even gone to church. But as you heard the words that were preached this morning that came from the Word of God, that something about it was true. That this indeed was a true event. That this wasn't a made-up story. And that you want to give your life over to Jesus Christ. You want to respond in belief rather than in disbelief. And if you want to do that, I want you to pray with me this morning. And just pray this simple prayer along with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've made mistakes over the course of my life. And as I look at my life, there's no way that I'm good enough to gain eternal life. But Jesus said that if I believe in him, I will not perish, but have eternal life. And so, Father, I believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that he was resurrected on the third day. And, Father, I accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior, so that my sins might be forgiven and that I might have eternal life. I turn from my old way of life. And I choose this day to follow you. Thank you for adopting me into your family and making me a child of God. And if you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family. And I ask that you would please tell somebody around you that you made that prayer. And contact myself or maybe somebody you know, so we could get you started on this wonderful journey. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the resurrection and the hope that it gave us. And we see, Father, as the disciples doubted whether you were resurrected or not, and actually believed that you didn't, Father, that your resurrection brought hope and excitement and joy to their life. And Father, if there's anyone here right now who feels that they're living in Saturday, where all of their dreams, all of their hopes, all of their plans, Father, are falling apart, and right now they don't feel or they're not that there's any hope, that they are in the same dark place that the disciples were, Father, I pray that this resurrection would prove that you are who you say you are, that you are the God who offers them peace, that you are a God who says, you don't need to be afraid, for I am here. I am with you, and I made a promise that I would never leave you nor forsake you. And because of the resurrection, you know that all my promises that I make are true. Father, may you touch our hearts. Father, may we live our lives as if you were living and not still in the tomb. May we make you a part of every decision we make, every part of our day moving forward. Thank you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.